Hey Alexa, what's the definition of hustle?
To be aggressive, especially in business or other financial dealings.
You're listening to the H for Hustle podcast, designed to inspire future entrepreneurs to take the leap from working for someone else to pursue their passions and side hustles and turning them into full-fledged businesses. My name is Jerome Fenton. I'm a serial entrepreneur. Every week, I'll be speaking with an entrepreneur that has taken that leap. We'll be talking about the lessons they've learned and how they've turned their passions and side hustles into full-fledged businesses. H for Hustle Podcast, welcome back. Another illustrious episode up ahead. And on today's episode, we have Nicole Odom Hartnett of Talk to Nicole. And guys, I told you a few weeks back that I was going to start having some real conversations on this podcast and real interviews with real people talking about real things that have to do with entrepreneurship. And today, I talked to Nicole about co-parenting, and not just co-parenting, but making a blended family and how she was able to maneuver that. Nicole coaches and helps people and families create a much better blended situation. Now, the reason why I want to have this conversation is because, you know, 50% of all marriages end in divorce. That means there are children that are left with broken homes, broken families, and that's something that they have to navigate, and people have to learn how to navigate this. And as entrepreneurs, these are conversations that I don't hear anywhere that I wanted to start having, because, you know, we talk about making money and being successful and motivation, but then there's the reality of life. And these are the things that I wanted to start talking more about. And that's why I brought Nicole on the show. So we're going to have a real conversation. She gives some really good advice. She was someone who had to blend a family of seven people, which is, you know, tremendous on its own. And she went through her own ups and downs with that. So let's get into today's episode right now. Boom. Today we have Nicole Odom Hartnett of Talk to Nicole. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So Nicole, if I was to ask you what you do for a living, what would you tell people?
Oh my gosh. I would tell people I'm a multitasker.
There's been weird articles about multitasking. Do you really believe you can multitask well, or you just do one task really quickly and move on to the next one?
I do one task really quickly and move on to the next one. I would say I'm a jack of all trades. I'm a master of few.
Okay, got it. I never heard that before. but sometimes because you're mastering few, a couple slip and you're cool with that.
That is true. I try to prioritize. Let's put it that way.
Prioritize. All right. So how do you figure out what's priority?
It depends on who's involved. And so it depends on who's involved. And it depends on how much money is at stake.
That's perfect. You have like 10 grand, not to 100 grand. Priority.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, really, Nicole, why I want to have you on the show is because about a few weeks ago, I did a solo episode where I told my audience that I want to start having real conversations about real entrepreneurial struggles. You know, I felt like I was talking a lot about motivation and, you know, growth and making that leap to entrepreneurship. But there's also a dark side to being an entrepreneur, right?
Like, oh, my God. Yes.
No one talks to you about that. You know, on Instagram or on TV, they show you the Lambos and the good life and the freedom. But there is also certain things that come into that. And, you know, one of the biggest things we want to talk to you about is like relationships and family. So I want to go back. How did you get into the relationship and family aspect of business?
I was working at a healthcare organization. I was the referral coordinator. Mm-hmm. And I had, I developed a mentor.
Okay.
She was a nurse. I think she was the administrator. She wasn't the CEO.
Okay.
She kind of pulled me along.
Got it.
We used to go to meetings at one of the hospitals, and I was the only one in the room without a degree. All I had was a high school diploma. Everyone in there was a doctor, a PhD or something.
Yeah.
And they were asking me questions and I was, you know, giving information. And I was like, I wonder if these people know that I don't have any type of degree or anything. Yeah. And they're asking me questions. And I'm sitting at this round table with all these doctors and everything. And
so was that like a feeling of intimidation or was a feeling of like, man, I'm really good here?
At first, I was very intimidated going into the room.
Okay.
Because everyone had on their white coats or their scrubs or something. I was very intimidated the first time. And when they started asking me questions, I'm like, okay, I can't sit here like a bump on the log. I have to answer these questions.
Yeah.
And she's looking at me like, girl, you better answer. And so I had to, you know, spit it out.
Okay.
And the next time I went, they were still talking to me. I'm like, okay, they must don't know. So I'm going to give it to them.
Because they think that you're capable of being in the room. If you wouldn't have been in the room if you didn't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. So I'm, you know, just going to give it to them. From that point on, I was like, I was already very confident. So mm-hmm. I never had self-esteem issues or anything like that. But from that point on, I think I was really unstoppable.
Got it. It's almost like it gave you the feel that you needed. You're like, I could be in a room talking with doctors. I could do anything I want.
Right. I can do any and everything that I want. And I think one of the doctors was from our clinic. And so he knew that I didn't, you know, have an advanced degree or anything. And so he knew my capabilities because him and I, we conversed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the rest of the people at the round table, I know they were his friends or his colleagues. And so I assumed that maybe they talked about me. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But from that point, I was like, oh, please, this is his cake. So I couldn't wait for these round tables every Wednesday.
Got it. So every week you're like building your confidence, getting better and better.
So I just knew if I wanted more that I was going to have to go back to school.
Got it.
And
okay.
So now, you know, but I had a kid and it's just going to be harder, but I had to push through it. And of course I did some dumb stuff. You know, I would fall asleep in class and, you know, I wouldn't take it seriously along the way. So it took me a lot longer.
Got it. Okay.
Than anyone. But I think by the time.
And you're doing this while working in the same.
While working full time.
In a mental health facility. Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So, you know, it took me a very long time, but by the time I got to the point where I was ready to go to grad school, which was years later, because by this time I had two kids.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I had to really buckle down for grad school. So by the time grad school came along, I had to leave my son with my mom mm-hmm. and my oldest son was with me.
Okay.
And I was laser focused.
Got it. You was like, let's get this over with. Cause you've seen how long you were like pushing and going through the, you know, the 4-year degree. You're like, all right, let's get this over with. 2 years. I really want to be done.
So for my 4-year degree, it was still hard for me. And at first I was going to choose nursing. But mm-hmm. I was like, nah, I'm still scared of needles. So, you know, I knew they would have to go through that, you know, blood draw. And I was like, So it just made sense for me to just do business. I was like, let me do something general.
Got it. Okay.
Let's do business. And I had no idea at all that I was going to start a business or anything, but I thought business administration was just going to be just
vague. It was easy enough to get through. Plus it was general enough where you can use that and go into almost any if you wanted to stay in medical, you could. If you wanted to go somewhere else, you could.
Exactly.
Oh, got it.
Because I think at the time I was, let's see what type of positions, I was like director. Okay. I was holding like director roles.
Got
this
it. Okay.
Time because I had so much knowledge from going from position to position to position. And I was able to say, oh, when I got into an interview, I was like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
You know, this is the type of experience I've had because I've done this and this and this and this. You know, if I had seen it done or I had done it maybe once or twice, I
knew you
about
could do it. Yeah,
I knew I could do it because I picked up things just like that.
Yeah.
And you would think that I have been doing it for like a year, and I may have just sort of done
one time. So you go through grad school now, right? When do you say, all right, is there something that clicks in your mind and says, oh, grad school makes me want to be an entrepreneur? Or how do you make that transition?
So almost at the end of grad school, another colleague of mine, did we have a project or something? I don't know if we had a project or we were working together. We were just talking. So I was the only one that wasn't in like the substance abuse arena, fully working in the substance abuse arena. I was in like the career services.
Got it.
I was a director of a department at a school, but I was working with people. I was responsible for placing people. And the problem I was having, they were being turned down for jobs because they had substance abuse issues.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And so I was faced with that. So I had to contact different substance abuse agencies to get my people help, because some of them confided in me that they were really that far gone.
Okay.
That they needed help. So it had been around me previously. So that was the interaction that I had with the substance abuse arena. But a friend of mine, well, I can't call him a friend. We were in grad school together. We started a transitional house together.
Got it. Okay. So what is a transitional house?
So we had people that were in a house that were, I think all of them had substance abuse issues.
Okay.
So they didn't have anywhere else to go.
Got it. Okay.
They're
going for like addiction treatment?
Yes, they would go somewhere else for the treatment.
Okay, got it.
And so they would live under our house, our rules. They would go elsewhere for treatment, and they would have a certain amount of time that they could stay in this house.
Got it. So who's paying you? Because it doesn't seem like these people have...
They don't have any funds.
Yes.
We're receiving resources from a special program.
Okay, got it.
We applied for this program, we received a grant, and that's how.
Got it. Okay, so you guys like bought or rented a house, put people in there, and then they're in there for about 8 to 12 weeks or whatever, and then after that they leave and then somebody else comes in?
Exactly.
Wow, that's a pretty clean business. Got it. So you went into that side of it, and that's what your main business is most of the time.
So at that time, that's what it was. That's how I got started in that field.
Got it.
And then the partnership did not work so well. So I learned then that me and partners don't mesh well.
Yeah.
because once I get in, I am all in.
Yeah. And the thing about partnerships, it's almost like a marriage, and everyone has to know the roles going in and be flexible with the roles. You know, I've been in a business partnership before, and it took some time to figure out what everyone's roles were. So
exactly.
Yeah. And if you guys don't have the same level of commitment, it gets really tough.
Exactly. So that partnership was dissolved.
You got it. So what happened to the houses? Do you guys split those, or how does that work?
I kept the houses because I knew the gentleman who owned the property. So I kept the property, and I kept the house as a transitional house. But then I turned the transitional house. I applied for a license for assisted living.
Oh.
And I was awarded the license for assisted living. So the house was turned into assisted living, but my assisted living was not for the elderly population. It was for those who were duly diagnosed. So same type of population, but different set of regulations.
Got it. Okay.
So I still had to follow the regs for an assisted living, but it's a different population. So not elderly, it's those who still needed help with the activities of daily living, but the age range was different.
Okay, got it. All right. And now this still, you're still getting funding from, I guess, a government program or something like that, or are people paying independently?
So it's just they can pay independently, or I applied. I'm working now with the Department of Social Service, and they have a special program for this population. They just have to make sure that they fit into the criteria.
Got it. Okay. And then, so you have one house. Do you expand, or do you stay?
I do. I expand to a couple more houses.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Got it. So, thank you so much for sharing that. And that's such a loop of a process. And I like that it wasn't a straight road. You know, I think a lot of people, I personally think the route that you took, where you're 18, I think a lot of kids shouldn't go to college. I think they should go figure out the world a little bit before they go and take the college route. Because when you go to college, you might be wasting your time not knowing what you should be doing after you get out with a four-year degree that doesn't really relate to you anyway, you know, so... Right, that's just my thoughts on it, though.
It is true, because some people, they, you know, they change, and they, you know, they may think that they want to be a whatever.
Yeah, a dentist, right? And then they go they get to like the first year of dental school, and it's like, hold on, I really love music, you know, but you're $70,000 in debt, figuring out you really like, you know. So I really like the route that you took that went straight. Like, it wasn't a straight path. It was, you know, kind of zigzag and stuff like that. So now, how do you become, you know, talk to Nicole, where you're now giving advice on relationships and blended families?
So my, when I was almost done with grad school, mm-hmm. I met my now husband.
Okay.
And we blended our families. So I have two kids. Now he brought in five more kids. So now we have seven. And we have one grandson. And so...
Seven people?
Wow. Seven people. Yeah. So, so that was definitely different. And it wasn't easy.
Okay.
It started out very nice and, you know, calm. And then, of course, you bring in all these personalities and you bring in outside forces. And of course, that creates some turmoil when the outside forces come in to a household. And you have to deal with all of that inside of a new marriage and all these personalities and... It creates some tensions and drama and you name it. And with all that going on, plus businesses and things of that nature,
that puts a strain on a relationship.
It puts a strain on everything and everyone.
Got it.
And, you know, getting through that ordeal, I think when you come out on the other side of that, you are able to give advice.
Yeah.
Okay. Sound solid advice.
Got it. Because most you're blending seven people together, seven personalities, plus the mothers.
Plus the outside.
The mothers of everyone. Everybody else. And, you know, being able to maneuver that. And the reason I want to have you on is because, you know, 51% of most marriages fail. And then a lot of people, as entrepreneurs, the entrepreneurial stress also puts a strain on a relationship as well. And then most people who have been married and as an entrepreneur, they now have to break that family apart and then now get remarried to different people. Exactly. You know, so how do you deal with the difficulties of being creating a blended family? Like, creating, how do you even begin to create that blended family scenario?
First of all, I think you really have to know what you want. And of course, both people have been in other relationships, or at least one has been in another relationship. If you haven't looked at your previous relationship to know what you did wrong or what went wrong, what you liked, what you didn't like, and what you're going to do differently going into your new relationship, you should definitely do that if you haven't already.
Got it. So spend some time outside of relationship looking back at your relationship and what went wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty solid advice.
Exactly. Because something went wrong, or else you and the other person would definitely still be together. Because it cannot be all that person's fault.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking that it's all their fault, then you're not ready to move on yet.
Got it.
You have to be somewhere in that mixture. So that's the first thing that you need to do. And moving forward, you need to know exactly what your deal breakers are in your new relationship, because there's something that gets under your skin about something that someone does.
Got it.
So you need to know what that is.
Got it. So knowing what your deal breakers are before you go into a situation. Got it. Mm-hmm. All right. And then is this open conversation that's being had from dating, or how is
it? From dating, yes. That person should like really truly be your friend first. Like you should be able to say, you know, whatever, whenever, in your conversation, you should be able to talk about any and everything openly to that person. My husband and I, we talked about each other's kids, and I'm like, you don't get any more sensitive than talking about someone's kids to another person.
Got it. Okay. So, you know, blending a family can be tough. I personally had to deal with it. You know, it's something that's really hard to do. How does one manage? Forget the children for a second, because I feel like the children are a little bit easier to deal with. Mm-hmm. I think it's the adults bringing their adult problems amongst children, you know? So
how does
the situation where you can blend the mothers and fathers of these kids together I'm not saying you guys are going to have, you know, Christmas dinner together, but how does everyone get on the same page? You know, how do you create something like that?
You know, sometimes I don't know if in some cases that will probably never happen. But someone has to be the adult. If everyone can't be an adult. So people can't feed in to the BS that another person is giving off. So if one person is still in their feelings about whatever happened.
Got it. So if the dad is still having feelings about something, how does one rise above all of that?
You just have to really look beyond. You can't feed into it.
Got it. Okay.
So the other person can't feed into whatever's being said about them,
mm-hmm.
especially in front of the kids.
Got it.
If you want to talk in private to the partner or to the parent, to the other parent, then that's fine. But the kids can't let you see that, you know, that bickering and talking about the other parent. That should never happen.
Got it.
Because you got to realize that that's their mom or their dad. That you're mm-hmm. talking about. You can't do that in front of the child.
Now, how are you able to do some of this? Now, again, you said seven people. That's your own kids that you have. Then you're mm-hmm. getting to know five other people. And then mm-hmm. whoever those parents are, those other people, right? How are you doing this and still running a business? Because that just sounds like a full-time job by itself. So how are you able to manage that in the moment? I know you're a little removed from it now, but how are you able to manage that?
So you really have to compartmentalize. Just like people go to work from 9 to 5,
mm-hmm.
and on their 9 to 5, it's work, 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 work. And I know on a 9 to 5, you still think about what goes on at home, mm-hmm. but you can't let it really consume you. And I know some days, like I had my moments in my days where certain things like really, really bothered me. But I still had to, you know, get the work done, because at that point when I was going through certain like really tough situations, I was opening what's now my primary business. Like I was waiting for my license to come in. I was getting paperwork together, or I was literally like with my dad, like hammering in nails, like certain sections of the building.
Wow.
So, but you have to like block certain things out. And luckily for me, you know, we all went to therapy.
Got it.
So
children, everyone?
Everyone.
Okay.
We had to let it out. I had to talk it out. I talked it out with my husband, and some parts he understood, some parts he didn't. but I couldn't let it like overwhelm me. I did go through a bit of depression with it because it was the first time something like this ever happened to me.
Yeah. So you're learning to deal with it as it's going on at the same time. Right.
And nobody I knew went through anything like this. So I didn't have like a friend or someone that I could just call up in the middle of the night and say, hey,
how did you deal with this? Yeah.
I didn't have anything like anyone like that. So I did a lot of prayer.
Got it. Okay.
A lot of prayer.
So it sounds like one of the biggest key things you keep touching on is just communication. It seems like that's one of the biggest things. But who's doing the communicating? Is it all parents? Is it parents with the kids? You know, this is a lot of things to kind of deal with. So how's the level of communication happen?
My partner, my husband.
Okay.
You know, I had to let my husband know how I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
When it got to a certain point when, you know, I was crying because, and it's not because things were being said about me. I could care less about that. I don't care what people think about me because that's their thoughts. They don't know me. It is that it was unfair for a child to be fed information from an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And this adult doesn't know me.
Got it.
Has never had a conversation, has never asked to speak to me. And the way I feel about things is that I want to know who's in the house with my child.
Got it.
If my boys, for instance, when my oldest, his dad got married, I wanted to meet his new stepmom.
Got it.
And they got in when his dad and her got into a relationship. I met her. I had a conversation with her. That's where I stand.
Got it. And it's
because I want to know.
Do you recommend that across the board with everyone going, especially the adults going into it? Do you recommend all of them at some point or another get to at least see each other face to face, have a conversation?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you should know who's in the house with your child.
Yeah.
You should have a conversation with that person. I'm not saying you need to be their best friend. I'm not sure that you always need to have telephone conversations, but you all need to be on a neutral ground, because if the children are still in school and the child is doing weekends or 7 on, 7 off, you want to know where the person's head is at.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they are, you know, devil worshiping or believe, you know, they believe in something crazy and, you know, your ex doesn't know about this and you can see some things. I mean, maybe you don't say nothing, but you just, you know, put it in your back pocket.
Okay, got it. Okay.
You just want to lay eyes on the person. I don't know.
Got it. Okay. But you recommend that to happen all the time.
Oh, yes.
Got it. All right.
That's your child. That's your prized possession.
So then, you know, that level of communication happens with the parents, right? Let's say ideally that can happen. How does the step parent and the new parent, like the step parent and the biological parent, now how do they have a conversation with the kids? Do they act as everything is normal? How should they be maneuvering this?
You said this, the step parent and
How should they be having conversations with the kids? Should the kids just assume like everything's okay? Should you be having a big grandiose conversation about we're together now? Like, do you start bringing the kids around and dating? Like, how does this happen? How does someone do this?
You mean once they meet or?
Yeah, let's say they're meeting, things are going well. When do you introduce kids? And when do you have conversations and stuff like this about kids, to the kids?
You know, we introduced the kids, he actually met my oldest son by accident.
Okay.
we knew where our conversations were going and our mm-hmm. feelings were going, and we figured it was going to be, we knew it was going to be more than just dating.
Okay.
Into a long-term thing. So the conversations was going
in the right direction.
In the right direction.
Yeah.
And we both knew where the end game was going.
Okay, got it.
That's when we decided to introduce. So it wasn't like an early on, okay, we're seeing each other. We went out on a few days and we introduced the kids. No,
got it. Got it. And are you introducing the kids? Again, I'm doing this with the breaking down for the level of the audience. Are you introducing the kids to the person first? Are you introducing all the kids together? How are you guys doing that?
So we had dinner.
Okay.
So all the kids. So it wasn't all the kids at once. It was, he met my oldest son again by accident because he came to my house and mm-hmm. he used the restroom. And I met three of the kids. I met his girls, the ones that lived in the house with him.
Okay.
I went to a rehearsal.
Okay.
For a fashion show. And the middle daughter invited me to the fashion show.
Got it. Okay.
So that's when I met them.
So if somebody wanted to put a structure on it, how should they do it though?
But he had already talked about me.
Okay. Got it.
So it wasn't like, bam, I was there.
Yeah, okay.
He'd already talked about me. He's like, hey, you know, dad has a new friend. And so it was, you know, an introduction before the introduction.
There, got it, got it.
So physical introduction.
So the parents should be having this conversation before the even. Yes. Okay, got it.
Before the introduction is even made. I am a big proponent of letting your kids know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the adult sense, like, okay, you know, I have a $5,000 bill that's due. Not that type of let them know what's going on. Like with my grandson, for instance, I let him know, okay, you're going to see your dad this week. On Friday, we're going to take a trip. On this day, and he doesn't even know what Friday is.
Got it. But you're talking.
I prepare my kids for things. I've always prepared them for things. So it's not like, bam, something's going to happen. We're just there.
Got it. If you're going on a trip, you're like, hey, 2 weeks ahead. Hey, we're going to start going on a trip. We're going to start packing up. Okay.
Right.
Got it. All right.
I think people should prepare them so they're not like blindsided by things.
Got it. Okay.
If you know that something is going on, you should kind of give them, maybe not give them full details, because I remember I didn't give my kids like full details of some things because they would just worry the heck out of me about some things. But just give them something to prepare them.
Okay, got it. The overview. Not don't give them the details. Give them the broad
strokes. Especially if you're going to Disney or something like that.
Got it. Got it. He'd be like, we're going somewhere. It's going to be fun.
We're going on a trip.
Exactly. Yeah. Got it. Now, you know, again, this is something personally I've been through. And sometimes I talk to people about this. The timeline that people should put in their mind that this should all start becoming smooth. What would you say is like a timeline for everyone to start feeling like a family or a unit that's collectively together? How long do you say this should be?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if you can really put a time on it. 'Cause my situation last was rocky for probably about almost 2 years.
Yeah.
So, and I had no idea how long it was going to be. So it depends. It depends on each situation. Depends on how long you could last. I didn't know if I was going to be able to endure the situation, to be absolutely honest with you.
Got it.
It depends on, you know, your faith.
Yeah, that's kind of roughly around the time. Same thing with me. Same thing with a bunch of other people I know. It really takes about 2 years for everything to kind of become.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I won't want to use the word normal, but a little bit smoother. The waves aren't as huge. They're smaller, you know. And then eventually it just becomes like a normal part. So what would you say right now? There's someone. They're an entrepreneur. They're building their business. You know, they just went through a breakup. They have children together with someone else and they're about to get a new relationship. What advice would you give that person? Would you say, hey, go into that new relationship with open mind, open heart? Was there anything that you would give them to before they even go into this trying to blend a family situation?
I would say first, the previous advice, make sure that they have done their due diligence for themselves. They need to know what they are looking for, what they want. They've taken some time out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
First, they're going into it with a clean mind, body, soul, all of that.
Got it.
If they have done all of that, I would say make sure that they're at a point where they're not bringing so much of the old baggage into. Everyone brings baggage, but they're at a point where they are not going on a date and then like, oh man, this, they're just like such and such.
Got it.
So I know so many people do that. They compare everyone to the previous person.
Got it.
Not realizing that everyone is different. Yes, other people may do some of the same things or, you know, have some similarities, but there are so many people that lump everyone together.
Got it.
It's, you know, I don't know if men do this, but I know a lot of women do this. They think just because, you know, one person cheated that, you know, everyone's a cheater.
Got it. Okay.
And that may not be the case.
Got it. So you recommend spending some time learning yourself, figuring out what the past relationship baggage was, and then being comfortable and clear within yourself to then move into something else.
Right.
Got it.
Right.
So what would some advice be on trying to now bring together a family unit?
Make sure you have really good communication.
Nice.
Because the two of you have to be a unbreakable unit. Especially from those outside forces.
Got it.
The kids also, because the kids may try to play the two against the middle. Mm-hmm. So if your communication is so solid, then you should not have any problems at all when or if the exes come with their shit, the kids come with their shit,
okay,
and anyone else comes with their stuff.
Got it.
The two of you should be able to, you know, have this shield around you that nothing can come between you.
Got it. So it seems like the most of the work happens up front within the two people that are going to try to blend a family together. It seems to be spending a lot more time developing that bond and that relationship to make sure that once you guys start bringing all the kids, the biological parent, everyone else involved, that your communication has to be A1 and tight with each other.
Right. And I think what helped myself and my husband was once we went to therapy, and I knew that I had a lot of things that were on me early on that he definitely needed to know, and therapy helped pull more of it out so he could understand me and why I am the way I am. And it helped me understand who he is and why he is that way.
Got it.
Communication before was great, but it helped me to understand him, and it helped him to understand, really understand me.
Got it. So you recommend at least getting some of couples counseling, therapy, something to kind of before you even start introducing kids, family, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. Or even like when you're at a point where you think that this person is the one, and hopefully you've already had you've had deep conversations, but the therapy helps you go even deeper.
Got it.
To explain what you've told that person.
Got it.
You shouldn't have any secrets if you're thinking about marriage or living together and all that stuff. You shouldn't have any secrets at that point.
No, and then also you're bringing so many other souls and lives into that circle, because now you're creating a small circle that's going to be a bigger circle on top of it. So
exactly,
you have to make sure that the communication's wide open there. And it seems like it, no matter what you say, it seems like it keeps pointing back to that at every level. Okay.
Right.
So now let's say there's someone, they're in the muck of this, they're in the middle, they're mm-hmm. they're dealing with this, they're running their business, they're stressed out, they're crying in the corner at nighttime, right? Like what advice would you give that person who's in it right now, who's in the middle of it, and they just can't see the light at the end of the tunnel?
You better get on your computer and type in www.songsinthecold.com. I've been there. there is a light. I mean, there is a way out. I mean, hopefully you haven't done anything to magnify the situation, because you can't wait or you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, meaning you've added someone extra mm-hmm. to the situation. But I know it can be very overwhelming, because I was extremely overwhelmed. As I said, I was waiting for my license and I had no idea when I was going to get my license. And I was paying for, a location, paying rent, utilities and all that good stuff with no income coming in.
Wow.
So that was extremely stressful. Plus I had to pay all the licensing fees. I was paying a consultant. So I had a lot of weight on my shoulder, then my in-house stress. So I know exactly what that is like, but eventually prayer, I mean, whoever you believe in, whatever you believe, I had to fall to my knees. And mm-hmm. and just start praying. Every night, every day, I was, oh my God, I cried so many tears because I had no idea what was going to happen, what was going to be the next move. I'm like, did I make a mistake getting into this? Am I over my head?
Life because was so much easier before all of this.
right. I'm like, what did I do to myself?
I really love them?
Right. I'm like, I thought I was superwoman, but no, apparently not. I'm not. I can remember all the stuff that I said. And oh my goodness. Yeah, it was extremely hard. And I developed patience at that time, because I had absolutely no patience. I had no idea what to do, what to say, when it was going to be over. I had no one to turn to. It's bad enough I don't have any friends. I have one girlfriend. That's it. But, she never been through any of this.
Yeah.
So I had no one, nothing to turn to. So all I could do was wait it out.
Got it. Yeah. I'll give a perspective from a guy's side, and me personally being through this, it's one of those things where you just have to just kind of like, it's like a roller coaster, just hold tight, and it's going to get rocky. It's going to get bumpy, expect it to be that. Just stay in communication with everyone that's in it with you, so mm-hmm. with both parents on both sides, and just be in clear enough communication. For me, I noticed the clearer my communication got, the better things got. The worse my communication was, or if I got into my feelings or emotions, which is going to happen, but once you start getting angry or upset, it makes everybody else angry and upset, and it just raises the temperature in the room. So for me, on the guy side of it, I would definitely add, it's going to be a wild ride, it's going to be bumpy, but eventually it does slow down and the roller coaster does stop. Not saying that the ride just becomes a little bit different, it becomes like a kiddie roller coaster, it becomes everyone as a little bit easier and more manageable. But the biggest thing is just staying clear communication with everyone involved, because the person you're with, they need the same level of communication as the biological mom or dad, so just stay in communication as much as possible. That's the two pieces that I can add to it, because it's just tough until it's not. I like to ask these last two questions to every guest. As an entrepreneur, what is one thing you wish you knew before you became an entrepreneur?
That you can't pay yourself right away.
Unless you get a big investment. Yeah. And then you still can't pay yourself that much.
Right.
And the last question I ask to absolutely everybody, the name of the show is H for Hustle. What does hustle mean to you?
Nonstop.
I like it. So, you know, if somebody is in the middle of it right now and they need someone to speak to and they need someone who's been through it, they don't have the friends that have been through it, how can they reach out to you? How can they find you to have a conversation with you?
So my website is talktonicole.com. My email address is nicole@talktonicole.com. And I'm here to help in any way I can.
So Nicole, thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you so much for being so open and honest and, you know, providing such a value conversation for the audience. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's definitely a pleasure. And I wish every entrepreneur out there, anyone who's thinking about getting into this, the much success and best of luck.
Man, what an episode, guys. One of my biggest takeaways from this episode is when Nicole said, you know, make sure you focus on yourself. Make sure you know where the last relationship went wrong, where you were compliant in making it go wrong. Figure out those things before you bring yourself into a new relationship. I felt like that was one of the biggest gems out of today's episode. I would love to know what you learned from this episode. Go to hforhustle.com, click on the episodes tab, go to Nicole's episode, and hit me up in the comments. I would love to know what you guys thought. H4Hustle.com, click on episodes and jump in the comments. I would love to know what your thoughts and what you learned from this episode. Guys, I'm going to wrap it up right here. I'm going to leave you guys with the quote that I always leave you with from the late, great Nipsey Hussle. The quote goes, "This game will test you. Never fold. Stay 10 toes down. Because it's not on you, it's in you. And what's in you, they can't take away." That's it, guys. Peace. Boom.